Somebody had me on mute. I want to be on mute. Hallelujah. Try to preach what the Lord's laid on our heart for today, okay? I'm going to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 40 this morning. Psalm chapter number 40, a very familiar passage of Scripture there. And I'll try to bring the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart for today. Psalm and chapter number 40. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. A very familiar passage of Scripture to you if you've read your Bible much. The psalmist David said here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. For many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Amen. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine tears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth, from the great congregation. Now may the Lord add His reading and blessing to that reading of Word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege, Lord, to be here today and for this wonderful text that You've laid upon my heart. I need Your divine help, Lord, and Your divine intervention this morning. I need that special anointing that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, for liberty and for power, and most of all, the presence of the Lord Jesus in our midst, and may the precious Holy Spirit of God work today, Lord, bringing great conviction, heavy conviction, deep conviction upon hearts and lives that are outside the fold of God. They've never been saved. And may they today, Lord, find themselves humbled at the cross and calling upon the name of the Lord. Have Your divine will and way in every heart. Revive and rejoice the hearts of Your people. Help us to leave here today saying it's been good to be in the house of God. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for all that is accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take for our text verse this morning, verse number 2, where David said here, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Notice this next statement, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And I want to try if the Lord would help me to preach for a little while this morning around the thought, I'm stuck in the mire and I can't get out. I'm stuck in the mud and I can't get out. I'm satisfied that there's a lot of people today that have found themselves in the same situation that David found himself here in Psalm 40. This was looking back on David's life, possibly at his conversion experience. When he saw himself without God and without hope, saw himself stuck in the miry clay, in the mud, and cannot get out. And I'm confident that there are a lot of people today that's lost and without God, and they're stuck in the mud and the muck and the mire of sin. They have been surrounded by the wickedness of this world and find it an impossibility for them to ever get out of the predicament that they found themselves in. But I want to say to you this morning, before I get to the message, that's not the worst predicament a person could be found in. Amen. To realize that they're caught in the mire and they can't get out. Somebody said, "Preacher, how in the world can that be a good position to be in?" Because it's where you're going to have to get before you ever get born again by the grace of God. And secondly, because David said here, he waited patiently upon the Lord. And the Lord heard his cry, inclined. He said, "He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." Amen. And so it tells me that sinners that are caught in this situation, that their cry, their call unto God is not futile. But God will hear. May I say to you today that he has never turned away one sinner that has ever called upon his precious name. No, sir, not. I can't find in the Bible one that ever called upon his name out of a sincere heart and really a humble heart wanting to be delivered from the muck and the mire of this world, that God did not bring them out. I can give you a whole lot of illustrations. Old Zacchaeus climbed up in a sycamore tree just to get a glimpse of the Lord. And as the Lord passed by, he didn't pass by there by any chance, ladies and gentlemen. He stopped right under the tree where Zacchaeus was and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come on down out of the tree, for today salvation is come to your house." I could tell you about Bartimaeus, blind, sitting by the roadside begging. And I'm going to tell you, God showed me this sometime back. And ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be an eye-opening and a heart-rending thing for us to realize where Bartimaeus was. It was the last time Jesus ever passed through Jericho. In other words, I believe that was his last opportunity to ever be saved by the grace of God. Now, I don't know when that last opportunity will come for a sinner. But I want to say the Bible does say that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And there will come a day when God will pass by your way for the last time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, that's a fearful thing to think about. Because if God ever passes by for the last time, you mark her down, you will be cut off from the love of God, the grace of God, and you will sign your death warrant, and your destination, ladies and gentlemen, will be a devil's hell without God and without hope for all time and eternity. Amen. So I would recommend when you're caught in the mire and stuck there and can't get out, you better not hesitate on calling upon the Lord. He may pass by just in the nick of time, and again, he may pass by and you fail to call upon the Lord, and you'll spend your life in hell without God and without hope. I'm telling you, we don't preach on hell much anymore. But it's a reality, ladies and gentlemen, that sinners that die outside the grace of God, they'll die, live forever in a place called hell, where the fire shall not be quenched, and where their worm dieth not, and they'll be there for all eternity without God and without hope. My recommendation would be to you today to humble yourself, get on an altar, and call out to God for mercy like David did here, and watch God bring you up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set your feet on a solid rock, and establish your good, and put a song in your mouth. And I'm telling you, there's some here that need a song in your mouth, and you don't have a song, and the reason you don't is because you're stuck in the muck and you can't get out. Amen. Stuck in the muck and you can't get out. That's where a whole lot of folks are today, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Is everybody listening? Amen. Either we're lost in gross numbers, or we're so far backslidden it's pathetic today. Amen. Some of you's got so spiritual you don't even need to come to the prayer room in the pastor's office anymore. You used to be there. I've seen you in there in the past. But I come out this morning and saw some of you lollygagging around out here. You wasn't back in there praying. Where were you? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that what we're going to do for God, we better do her now and get her done. And if you're here lost and without God, you better get right with God now, because I'm telling you that time is running out on this world that we're living in, buddy. Amen. I'm telling you, and I'm not going to preach politics, but I'm telling you the political power that is coming to on the scene right now will cut off Israel from America, and it's lining up the nations, ladies and gentlemen, to turn against that little country. And when you see that happening in this world, you better mark her down that our time is running out in this life, and what we're going to do for God, we better do it now and get it done. Hallelujah. Some of you mommies and daddies ought to get on these altars and pray for your children. Some of you in here have got children that's as lost as they can be. And I fail to see you on the altar of God with tears in your eyes, a begging God to save them by His marvelous grace. Better wake up. Come on in the house now. It's preaching time. I'll hurry and try to get you out of here before your roast burns. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen carefully now. I see, first of all, here a very sad situation. Amen. The Bible said that, the psalmist said that he's in a horrible pit and he's stuck in the mire. He's not just in a pit, ladies and gentlemen. I've been down in a lot of pits, and I'm talking about literally now, holes in the ground. Amen. It's one thing to be in a hole in the ground, but it's another thing to be in a pit and have muck and mire in the bottom of it to where your feet got no standing. It's one thing to be in a dry pit. It's another thing to be in a pit where there's muck and there's mire, and it's so deep and so sticky, if I can use that word, that you cannot get out. I'm telling you, David could not get out of that pit on his own power. He needed somebody with more power than what he had to get him out. And that power, thank God, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad. Thank God he's powerful enough to reach down into a pit that's full of mire and muck and lift you out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. So I see here a sad situation. In a horrible pit and stuck in the muck and can't get out. You ever been in some place you couldn't get out of without help? I've heard of men getting caught in combines and corn pickers and couldn't get out of it. Stuck there and couldn't get out unless somebody come by and helped them. Amen. Amen. That's right. And here's old David stuck in the muck and he can't get out. He's in that horrible pit. Now, I've not been in too many pits, I don't think, like this one, but I was in this one before I got born again. Hallelujah. I was in that pit before I got born again. I'm going to tell you what it was like down there. It was full of darkness. A pit is like a dungeon. It's like a prison. It's like a grave. They all imply that there is darkness there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, the sun may be flooding sun rays in this world, but in that horrible pit, there is darkness, ladies and gentlemen, just like a grave, hallelujah to God, just exactly like a dungeon, amen, like a pit, amen, and there's no light there whatsoever. May I say to you that a sinner today is in gross darkness, amen to God. And I'll tell you what they need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Lord Jesus to lighten their soul. I'm glad for that day when I was in that pit that I saw the light. Hallelujah to God. And I cried unto Him, and He inclined unto my cry and heard my cry and lifted me out of that horrible pit. Amen. 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 So he was in a dark pit. That's where sinners are. They're in darkness. They have no light. That's why when Paul was on the road to Damascus, that's why the Bible said at noonday there was a light as bright as a noonday sun. Because up to then he was in darkness. But I'm glad that he that is the light of the world and lighteth every man's soul that cometh into the world. Praise God when he passes by. Amen. When he passes by, he sheds light on your life. Thank God. And there's no more darkness. I want to say this, that light will always expel darkness, ladies and gentlemen. I want to ask you a question. You can't answer it, neither can I. But I want to ask you. If it was dark outside, which is not daytime, but we don't have too much lighting in this building. But what if it was dark outside, and all these lights in the building was turned off, and it was dark in this building, and all of a sudden all the lights were turned on. I want to ask you one question. Where'd that darkness go? I don't know where it went. And you don't either. You just turn on the light and the light expels darkness and the darkness is gone. And where it went, I have no earthly idea. Ain't that the same about a sinner? When you're in darkness, he turns on the light. And where that darkness went, you don't know. But thanks be unto God, it's gone, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say that gone with a capital G, hallelujah, O-N-E, gone forever, gone. And we're in light from then on, and we're not in darkness, hallelujah. They that walk in darkness stumble, but they that walk in light have no occasion of stumbling in them, what the Bible says. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Praise God. I was in a pit, dark, and stuck in the muck and couldn't get out. Sin had a hold on me that wouldn't turn loose. And sin was dragging me down into the muck and the mire of this world. But thank God one Sunday morning Jesus passed by where I was. Amen. Hallelujah. And lifted me out of the muck and set my feet on something solid. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. May I say that pit's not only a pit of darkness, but it's very distressing in that pit. The Bible said it's a horrible pit. It's not just a pit. He brought me up also out of the miry clay. And out of the, set my feet on a solid rock. This is a horrible pit. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You know what the word horror represents? Terrors. It represents evil. Now, I hate to use it this way, but we've got Baptist churches today that probably during Halloween they set up some kind of a Fright Night experience thing to try to compel people to come there and literally scare sin out of you. Hey, you're not going to scare sin out of nobody. But I'm going to tell you what those horror houses have got in them. Horror, ladies and gentlemen. And to use their terms, hobgoblins and witches and ghosts and all kind of horrible and terrible and fearful and frightening things. Oh, David said, I was not only in that horrible pit and it was dark around there, but it was a horrible place. It was a fearful place. It was just full of horrors all around me. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. A sinner that's in the miry clay and in that horrible pit, you can mark it down. They're living a fearful life. There's horror on every side, on every angle. That's right. Anybody in here? It's not very brave. How would you like to be out in the boondocks with no light by yourself and stumble and fall in a hole in the ground? Amen. Suddenly realize that you're in some sort of a pit that's got muck and mire in it, and it's dark there, and you have no light, and there's nobody around there. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you talking about bringing stress. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with a lot of people today. Come on now. They're lost and without God. That's why they're so stressed out today, ladies and gentlemen. It's because their heart is full of horror, amen, and distress, because they're still in that pit. Hallelujah. Woo! But one day Jesus passed by. Hallelujah to God. And all the horrors of life were dispelled, and thanks be unto His wonderful and holy name, where fear was at, hallelujah, hope and love and joy and peace came into a sinner's life, and God lifted him out of the darkness into the light, set his feet on a rock, and established his going. Anybody in here today stuck in that pit? Anybody in here today in the muck? Stuck in the muck and can't get out? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I want to say, Seth, in other words, that horrible pit was impassable. There was no escape. Come on and listen to me now. May I say to you, that horrible pit you're in has no passageway out of it. There's no escape. No way out. That's what I'm preaching on. I'm stuck in the muck and I can't get out. Amen. And for a sinner, there is no way out. I don't care how hard you fight it in your heart. I don't care how hard you fight it in your heart. I don't care how much you try to do good and do better and put on a facade, as Brother Griffith would say. I'm telling you, there's no escape, ladies and gentlemen, out of that pit you're in. There's only one way out, and that's up. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus knows how to lift us up out of a horrible pit.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. You're not going to get out of it. The streams and the horrors of hell, David said, took hold of me. The muck and the mire where no standing is. And I was left to myself. And all hope that I should be saved was gone. But thank God, He inclined unto my cry. He gave ear unto my words. The pleadings of my soul came up before Him that was able not only to shed light, but to give love on the situation. My cry came unto Him that had the power to make a way of escape when there was no way of escape. Praise God, I'm glad He can make a way when there ain't no way. Woo! Hallelujah to God! When Israel had no way to cross the sea, He made a way. And they didn't go across in mud. It was on dry land. Hallelujah. Dry that miry pit up, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Now listen carefully. It was a desolate place. He was in the muck and the miry clay. Then the slimy mud, where he could get no footing. He was alone and totally unable to do anything to affect his own deliverance.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, sinner boy, sinner girl, that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
When Jonah got in that belly of that whale, now I'm satisfied that whale, not only in the belly of the whale, I believe that whale went to the bottom of the sea. No, Jonah found himself on the bottom. In so many words, the same way David found himself. He said the seaweeds just entangled and wrapped around him, and he felt no way of escape, but he called unto the Lord. He said, and God heard my cry. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when that whale spit him out, old Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Amen to God. I'm glad He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can say amen right there, can't you? He's the resurrection and the life. You can say amen right there, can't you? He's the door, hallelujah. You can say amen right there, can't you? Yes, yes, sir, you better believe it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. Come on now, help Brother Hall out. Praise God. He is the omnipotent Father. Amen. The Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. Praise God. He's the best thing ever happened to me. I was caught in the muck and the mire of alcohol, but Jesus came back where I was. Praise God. And lifted me out of the muck and set my feet on a rock. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess I'm screaming now like that boy over don't want me to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. You say, I got my buddies with me. Nope. You just think you have. Oh, I got friends all around me. Nope. You just think you do. Every sinner is alone in his own sin. And every sinner's going to have to come by the way of the cross.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there's room for but two, and that's Jesus and you. No more, no less, buddy, that's it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't find where David had a friend in the pit.
Amen.
Not a friend in the muck and the mire, but thank God.
Amen.
There was one friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Brother Andy.
Amen.
Amen. I keep wanting to go back to where I was, and I can't help it. Oh, I want to be thankful this morning, church, for what Jesus done in my life. Hallelujah. When I floundered and flopped in the muck and the mire and the filth of this world and found no hope and no way out. But thank God on that Sunday morning, He heard my cry. Woo! Hallelujah to God. He heard my plea. And up out of the mire and clay lifted me. Thank God. Washed the muck and the mire off in His own precious blood. Set my feet on a rock and established my going. Put a song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. Amen. Put my marriage back together. Put my home back together. Put my life back together. Put all the pieces back together where they ought to be. Hallelujah. Anybody in here sucking the muck and the mire? You're all alone, friend. Oh, no, Brother Hall. We've got a lot of friends. David was alone in his sin. And that's where every sinner's at. There may be people around you, but there's none that can help. And I'll tell you, the arm of the flesh will fail you. Hear what I said, the arm of the flesh. I don't care how hard you try. You ever been caught in, ever heard anybody been caught in quicksand? The more they struggled, the deeper they sank. That's what he's saying here. I was in a stuck in the muck. And the more I struggled, the deeper I sank. But thank God, just before I went completely under, I was still able just to get my lips up out of the muck. And I cried, Lord, help! No! Thank God, in time, just in time. Woo! Just in time. Thank God. Somebody said he had a long way to go to get from heaven to where you was at. It wouldn't have took him long to get here even if he was up there. But I got a feeling he was standing right there looking over that pit saying, anytime you want help, I'm available.
Amen.
You don't have to go any deeper. I'm here. That's the way it is, sinner boy. You don't have to go any deeper. I'm here. All you got to do is call. I'm right here. I see where you're at. I know where you are. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. I know the pain and the horrors that's in your soul. And I'm available to help you when you want help. But he will not help you until you want help. Now I'm telling you, our churches are filled up with people that don't want help. Like that stupid old song, I can handle this job all by myself. You couldn't handle nothing by yourself. I want to say this to you. You couldn't be born the first time by yourself. There would have been nobody there to supple you. Nobody to cut your little umbilical cord, or whatever they call it. Your navel button. You couldn't help yourself then. What makes people think they can help themselves in the second birth? Thank God, I'm glad. Hey, I was up there on this last go-round when three of these kids was birthed within a week. I was thrilled there was a doctor there. To make delivery. Yep. Woo! Thank God there's a doctor here today. He's called the great physician, ladies and gentlemen. And he stands ready today to bring you in out of this world into real life. Amen. He'll bring you out of the darkness of the womb into the light of the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was dangerous. The more he tried, the deeper he sank, till he found himself hopelessly lost. But then I not only see a sad situation, but I see a great salvation. I'm talking about great, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! He said in Hebrews, he called it a great salvation. Isn't it great to be saved? Woo! Somebody said, I'm afraid they're going to drop the A-bomb. I wouldn't give a ragtag flip. They dropped 10 million A-bombs. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, how would God know where your body's at? Job said, though the skin worms devour this flesh, I know that still in this body, in this flesh, I shall see God. I'm going to tell you, buddy, if worms devour your flesh, they're going to dispose of your flesh somewhere in the dirt, and God knows wherever speck of it's at. Isn't that marvelous? I'm glad we got a God, son, that our forefathers been buried in that grave for thousands and thousands of years, and some of them before coffins and caskets and vaults ever came around, and their old bodies just deteriorated. The rain sunk down and their old bodies just deteriorated and run off into the soil around them. But God knows where every speck of it is. And there's coming a day God will put it all back together. We talk about a new body, and I've heard preachers say, now we won't have this body in heaven. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus, when He came back, when He ascended up, He said, hey, He's coming back in like manner. And He had a body, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said it was a different one. Oh, yeah. Then where'd they get the prints of the nails and the pierced side if it wasn't the same body? Amen. It's going to be the same old body. He's just going to say, glorified. And it's just going to, whoo. And son, I'm telling you, it's just going to be glorified. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that something out of the muck and out of the mire? Amen. Into a glorified body. Woo! No more pains, no more aches, no more tears, no more sorrow. Hallelujah to God. What a wonderful day. I'm talking about a great salvation that we have. Praise God. It's great, Brother Steve. It's just good to be saved. I can actually say on that Sunday morning, something good happened to me.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Oh, what a great salvation. It said He brought me up out of a horrible pit. That salvation is elevating. Brought me up. Amen. That's right. What is that verse of Scripture? Let me dare not quote it lest I miss up and foul up on it. But I can find it here in just a minute. It won't take me but a second. He hath raised us up together. And after He raised us up together, He made us sit down together in heavenly places. So He elevated us and then He gave us rest. Hallelujah to God. What are you doing today, Reverend Hall? I'm just resting in Jesus. Aren't you worried about how the election went? Not at all. Let the Democrats have their day. Let the Republicans have their day. I'm not concerned about their day. I'm concerned about my day. Amen. I remember my day. And praise God, there's coming another day. Hallelujah. When it'll be God's day upon this earth. So in the meantime, let the heathen rage and the people imagine of anything. Just get saved by the grace of God and enjoy what God's doing in your heart and in your life. Amen. I want to say secondly, it not only was elevating. Well, He brought the prodigal son up out of that hog pen. He elevated him a little bit. The man that was on his journey to Jericho, he went down to Jericho. He lifted him up a little bit. It's an elevating experience, ladies and gentlemen. Any sinner that's ever been saved would have to say this life is better than what you were living. Old puke drunk, some of you were. Just old dog pukey drunks. Lord would have been taken out in the woods and beat to death. Wasn't even fit to kill. That's what we were. That's where we were. Old pukey drunks and thieves and cussers. Blasphemers. And I'm going to tell you, there come a day when we got enough of that. And saw our soul like Rachel when it was in departing. When our soul was in departing. And we called on the Lord. Thank God He had every right in the world just to step His foot on my rotten head and just shove me on down under the muck and let me rot. Amen. Oh, Miss Hall, I'm so glad that He didn't. I'm so glad that He reached down a holy hand of grace and said, I know that you're worthless and you're useless and you ought to be in hell, but I love you. Well, why do you love me? Don't worry about why I love you. I just love you, and I've come to lift you out. Praise God, lift me out. I can't take no more of the sin. Woo! Can't take no more rock music. I like Amazing Grace. Don't like do what did it, that boy from New York City. I like Amazing Grace. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. I don't like Charlie Daniels and that liquor drinking crowd either. Amen. Don't like the Beatles or the Three Dogs of Nights or whatever there was or all that crowd. No. I like Victory in Jesus. Amen. The only heavy metal I like is gold. Praise God, it's refined. Amen. Because it stands for, praise God, the deity of our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't like Dolly Parton and Johnny Trash. None of that crowd. Amen. They all died in the muck. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Elvis was saved. He used to sing hymns. And the devil used to sing hymns in heaven.
Amen.
It's God, it ain't what you used to be, it's what you is now and what you're going to be. Woo! Hallelujah. It was great salvation, not only elevating, it's establishing. It said, He's established my goings. He give us stability, He give us direction, He give us duties. And if He established our goings, then He has a right to order our responsibilities and our duties. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of people. Come on now. I'm going to preach. Amen. You better read that verse. I put in, better read that verse in the morning bulletin. I'm going to preach on that now. I'm sick and tired of freeloaders. I'm sick and tired of folks dragging in late every Sunday morning for church. I'm sick and tired of seeing very little interest in the house of God. Come on in the house. Use a shout from a while ago. I'm sick and tired of folks laying out of services. You was a smile a while ago. What's wrong now?
Amen.
You would fire me if I drug in late all the time. You would fire me if I didn't make choir practice. Come on. Praise God when He lifted me up out of the horrible pit and established my goals. He gave me responsibilities and duties, and He has the right and the authority to enforce those responsibilities and duties. Amen. That's right. We drag in like we got dead flies rolling off of us and lice and everything else and crabs and one thing and another. Now they got the crabs because you've been hanging around the wrong family. You'll catch that after a while. I'm talking about the crab family, you know what I'm saying? Somebody said, oh, they sang wonderfully. Do they now? We played two or three songs by my own album. I said, that's all I understand. It's worse than the Beatles ever thought of being. It's worse than the Monkees. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. We're just monkeying around. I'm being honest with you. Gospel rock music is worse than the rock I listened to as a young boy. And I'm not playing on that mess. What about Karen Peck and New River, Reverend? What about him? He put a song in my mouth and didn't have nothing to do with that kind of heavy metal mess.
Amen.
The song he put in my mouth was Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was stuck in the muck, but now I'm free. Woo! Thank God I had a version to that. Hallelujah. Catch that after a while.
Amen.
I won't say thirdly it was elating. He put a song in my mouth. It made David thankful. It made him thoughtful.
Yeah,
and when he was saved, justified, justice magnified, and there was grace victorious.
Yeah,
hell was subdued and heaven was glorified.
Yeah.
Death was destroyed and immortality was established.
Yeah.
Sin was overthrown and righteousness became resplendent.
Yeah.
Anybody listening?
Yeah.
In other words, he had a change of life, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't have, it ain't ever changed you. You ain't got the goods, friend. But I said, I come to church all the time. I wouldn't care if you set a pup pen up and lived in here. If it's not changed your life, your attitude, your character, your conduct, your motive, you didn't get it. It made me happy.
Amen.
Everybody will be grumpy, over there. I said, we'll be grouchy over there.
Amen.
Some of y'all look like one of the seven dwarfs. His name was Grumpy. Put a song in my mouth. What does that say about that song? Said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many, the Bible said, shall see it and shall trust in the Lord.
I want to say to you, come on now, may I say, when we have lost our song, we have lost part of our witness.
Amen.
What would a lost man want with most, what most Baptists have got today?
Amen.
They hear the preacher preach. They run out to restaurants on Sunday afternoon and eat and sit there and talk amongst all the heathen about how bad the service was and how long-winded the preacher was, how there wasn't much God there, and, you know, an old brother so-and-so was this, so-and-so was that. And you expect to win them people to God?
Amen.
If I was sitting where you're sitting, son, everywhere I went, we got the best church in the world. And I tell people that where I go. Now, I can't say this, but I'm just telling you what I'd do if I was where you. Got the best man of God ever walked in shoe leather. He'll bust our hide and pour in oil at the same time. Amen. He'll feed us with bitter herbs and turn right around and give us the lamb that's sweet to the taste. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's the way it ought to be. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
Amen. And then fourthly, it was encouraging. Many shall see it and fear.
Amen.
Shall trust in the Lord. I've written down here that all may expect the same mercy as David in a diligent use of the same means. For this glorious example was intended by God to give us hope.
Amen.
In other words, this psalm was written to you and I to give us hope.
Amen.
That if God saved David out of the muck, if David was stuck in the muck and God saved him, then hallelujah, every sinner that's ever been born has got hope in that psalm. That God also will hear thy cry. I don't see nothing here where it says anything about anybody being excluded.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's His wonderful name.
Amen.
However low our estate may be, He being always able and always near to deliver us. Verse 9 says He preached righteousness. Verse 10 said He declared God's faithfulness. Verse 11 said He revealed His loving kindness. I'm closing right here. Not only do we have a sad situation, a great salvation, but there's a glorious celebration.
Amen.
Can anybody celebrate today? I know it's hot in here because I'm hot. But I like to sweat when I preach and get loud and scream and spit. I'll give you 15 cents for a preacher who couldn't spit at least five rows back.
Amen.
A glorious celebration. He said, blessed, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Amen.
None here want to trust in Him this morning? His wonderful works, according to verse number 5, was to usward. His wonderful thoughts in verse 5 was to usward. His blessings upon us cannot be reckoned up in order. They cannot be numbered. Now I want you to get older while I'm getting ready to say. His works are projects of infinite wisdom and designs of everlasting love.
Amen.
His works are not products of sudden impulse. Oh, I think I'll save David. My goodness, I better rush. Oh, no. It's the results of His thoughts to usward.
Amen.
When you was on the when He was on the cross, you was on His mind.
Amen.
God's divine thoughts march with divine acts. For it is not according to God's God's divine wisdom to act without deliberation and counsel. God never does anything on impulse.
Amen.
Always. Everything God does is a deliberate act out of His own counsels and wisdom. When God saved you, He didn't just see you floundered in your sin and say, "Oh my goodness, I better do something to help old Steve Vincent. I better do something to help Sharon Dockery." Before the foundation of the world, ladies and gentlemen, He saw you floundering in that sin. Before the world was, He saw you stuck in a muck. And out of His own divine counsel and wisdom, He said, "We'll foreordain the Son to be a lamb slain as a sacrifice for your sins, you that are stuck in the muck." God's thoughts to us are many. I wonder how many of our thoughts are toward Him.
Amen.
I didn't read it, but it's in there. It talks about His thoughts to us. He thought about us. I wonder if we've ever thought about Him.
Amen.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Oh, what glory that it's going to be when the saints of God all rise.
Amen.
When we drop this robe of flesh and rise.
Amen.
To seize the everlasting prize. Bless His holy name. Now I'm going to tell you, I meant what I said this morning, that little verse that we sang in that song. "I have decided to follow Jesus, though no one join me." How many in here would follow Him if there wasn't anybody joining you?
Amen.
I want, by the grace of God, to be like Joshua and says, "For me and my house,
amen,
we'll serve the Lord." And I've got pretty good control of that now. There ain't nobody there but me and Miss Hall. And if I don't follow Him, she'll beat me half to death. And if she don't, I'll kiss her to death. She'll have to submit because of that to get me away from her. So she's gonna serve the Lord too. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And I've made up my mind, if you all quit, I'm going on with God. Because it was He and He only that loved me enough to die in my place and give Him the God-given right, authority, and power to lift us out of the muck.
Amen.
Wherein we're stuck. Let's stand together.
Amen.